that is here so powerfully right now. Mighty God we serve. Amen. If you would stand just for a moment in honor of the reading of the Lord's word from Matthew 16, verse number 18. Jesus is speaking and he says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so powerful that it impacts our lives every single day, to the degree that if it is even remotely possible that you have sensed some sort of attack in any area of your life, there is a power in this place. And when we come forward for prayer in just a moment, believing God for miracles, we're coming forth confident in the power of the cross, in the power of Jesus Christ. And I just want to say, you cannot separate the work of Christ on the cross from the work of Christ in his church. There is something very supernatural happening here. And so I preach today, your church, your destiny, your church, your destiny. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you right now for your presence that is here. And I thank you right now for the power of your touch. I ask you for an anointing. I wonder if you would pray specifically for personal revelation today. Would you pray, "Lord, give me, my brothers and sisters, our guests, everyone here, a personal revelation of what you are saying and what you are doing in the name of Jesus Christ." In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. One translation of Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, it's God speaking to his people by extension. I believe that he speaks to us today. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." In the New Testament, we read a verse that also has a powerful promise akin to this one, Romans 8 and 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." I am certain that there are divine destinies in this house today. That there are individuals of whom it can be said, God has a plan for your life, for your family, for your future. Now, I just want to throw this out here because every now and then we feel like people can impact our destiny. We feel like circumstance can disrupt our destiny. I want to say this. Sometimes it may be appearing that men are in charge, but God is in control. It doesn't matter what's happening on your job. God is in control. It does not matter what's happening in your family. God is in control. And you can continually, daily, place yourself into the hands of God to protect and ensure His divine purpose for your life. There are many scriptures that seek to help us understand this reality. I just want to read one. I hope you can give a hearty amen to this one. Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you are putting God first in your life, it guarantees you the destiny that He has for your life. You are a powerful force to be reckoned with. You're not just ordinary. You're not just like others. You have a destiny. And let me just pause and say this. I'm not trying to belittle or maybe even act as though we are superior to anybody. I think the mark of demarcation is this. You find the people that have put God first, and you're going to find destiny. You find the people that have said, not my will, but thine be done, and you're going to find destiny. It doesn't matter what they call themselves. It doesn't matter what building they meet in. But if they have determined, I will seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus will be my Lord and my master. You find anybody like that, that man has a destiny. That woman has a destiny. Those people are people of destiny. Not only do we have a destiny, but it is our destiny to help others discover their destiny. You are a powerful force on your job and in your school because you're going to that location with a mentality, I'm putting God first on my job. I'm putting God first at my school. And so that separates you. God is able to fulfill and cause His master plan to unfold in your life. And part of His plan is for you to be a disciple of Jesus that is destined to help make others disciples of Jesus. Now, I know this is going to sound like old-fashioned preaching or maybe even wishful thinking, but I'm not just saying it because it fits in the message. I believe it with every fiber of my soul that there is a David in this place. And for you, David, is there not a cause? I believe with all of my heart there is an Esther here today. And I say for that Esther, you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. There is an Apostle Peter in the house today, like there are other disciples that are worshiping Jesus today. And for you, I remind you of the promise of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I see the church wrapped up in Sister So-and-so walking into that building where she works, and there is destiny, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. I see Brother So-and-so, he's just a teenager heading off to school, but when he walks into that classroom, he owns that classroom in Jesus' name, and no weapon formed against him shall prosper. I don't know how you feel about that, but with all the weapons out there, thank God I've got a destiny. Thank God I've got a destiny. Praise God. I feel like I have emphasized that enough so you are aware that this is something that I am really trying to live out, not just personally, but as a pastor trying to keep it in front of us as a congregation. God has a destiny for us. And I feel very, very strongly, and this is where the personal revelation kicks in today, that because these are the last days, and because we are the church of the living God, And because that we know there is coming a day when a trumpet is going to sound and we are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, I felt prompted by the Holy Ghost to remind this congregation that on some very vital, critical level, your destiny is intertwined with your church. When you see your church, you see your destiny. I know that a lot of my preaching has been focused on individuals and the personal pursuit that you and I can make regarding the purpose or the plan of God, but I want to make sure that no one is mistaking this kind of preaching to promote some sort of self-determination. Me, myself, and I living for God on my own terms. I do not believe you can find Bible for that. I believe it is the will of God for every individual to be a part of the church of the living God, and that your destiny would be intertwined with the church. And so you see your church and you see your destiny. Praise God. It is said of concerning the church in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I hope I get a real loud amen here. It's going to come on you quick. Husbands, love your wives. Amen. Wives, take note. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I will not say this next Sunday because we have a lot of good people that will come next Sunday that perhaps they are numbered amongst them. Some that probably only go to church on Easter or Christmas or other special occasions. We call them CEOs around here. Christmas, Easter, other special occasions. Now, I will not say this because it would not be helpful to make them feel bad that the church is not really a priority. But I do want to just emphasize a spirit that promotes in our world that you can believe in Jesus but distance yourself from his church, that you can believe in the cross but not really be committed to the church, that you can even believe that Jesus rose from the dead but you can have a casual connection with his church. Let me tell you something. When he was on the cross, I know I was on his mind, but it wasn't just so I could live my own life and do my own thing and serve God on my own terms. He shed his blood for his church. And when we were on the cross, he wasn't seeing you doing your thing for God and you doing your thing for God. He was seeing a church, and he knew if I could get that church to come together, if I could build that church and they would follow me, their destiny would be intertwined with my divine purpose for humanity. And so in every generation, when hell was doing its dirty business, the church could rise up. Even when governments were falling, even when religion was dead, the church could rise up. And it could be said for every human being, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Your church, your destiny, they're intertwined. Your church, your destiny, they're one and the same, because Jesus loved the church. He gave himself for the church. There's some husbands around here that really love their wives. That's why sometimes you see these men sitting on the platform, not just them, but other men. You know why they're sitting on the platform? Privately, they have told me, if I sit by my wife, there's no way I'm going to be able to focus on the Lord. So could you put me up here? Because I got to get something out of the service. It's not just these. There's others. Others like them. In fact, some of them are sitting by their wives today, and I want to commend them somehow, some way. Put your hands in the air. Step away from your wife. But if you ever see a husband that's given himself for his wife, that's loving her, you need to remember that's how Christ loves the church. And as much as you have a destiny, I want you to know you have a destiny because of the church. I'm not trying to promote this particular building. Maybe for some of you, you're just a guest today. But wherever you can find, you need to get in the church. Wherever God leads you, you need to be a part of the church, because you cannot separate Calvary from the church. You cannot separate the resurrection from the church. You cannot separate the blood of Jesus from the church. And so every now and then, when you're feeling that warm fuzzy, and that sounds a little bit sarcastic, and I apologize, but you're just enamored with how convinced you are about your love for Jesus, but you don't really love the church, you need to get that straightened out. You say, why? I come when it's convenient. I might even come pretty regularly, but you know, there's just some things about the church that I don't know if I can really give myself completely to the church. Well, you need to realize that as you're walking with Jesus, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And so Jesus gave his life for the church. And Jesus shed his blood for the church. Jesus went to the cross for the church. And so somewhere as you're walking with him, you're going to have to love the church the way he loves the church. Somewhere as you're drawing nearer and closer to his will and to your destiny, you're going to become more committed, more connected, more consecrated to the church. Why is that important? Because sooner or later, the devil's going to try to find you and eat you up and spit you out. And I want to tell you something. If you're out there by yourself somewhere, the gates of hell will trample all over you. The devil and darkness will destroy you. But if you are a part of the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Oh, could you clap your hands and shout with your voice as if to say, thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. So in Ephesians 5, I'm just going to read one more portion. So these husbands and wives can stay focused on the Lord. But Ephesians 5 and verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. The intimacy in those simple words, the union, the commitment. Wow, there's nothing like it. If you're ever blessed to be married where two become one, there is nothing like it. Nothing like it. And then verse 32. Now, men, here's another amen spot. It's going to come on you fast. This is a great mystery. Amen. I mean, how long have you been married? 45 years. But it's still a mystery. It's still a mystery. And I'm not going to focus on that anymore for this message. Because you know, well, you know. But the Lord said through his word, this is a great mystery. but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. Now again, I'm not going to preach on this next Sunday. It's not my point to offend or hurt the hundreds of people you're going to bring with you. But I want you to know there's a spirit in this world that says I can divorce myself from the church, but I can still be married to Jesus Christ. You don't have Bible for that. When you divorce yourself from the church, you are divorcing yourself from your destiny. Your church, your destiny. Your church, your destiny. I'm asking for a personal revelation right now, because some of you know it would be wrong and not really healthy for your family to divorce from the church. So instead, you're just separated. Instead, you're just in separate bedrooms. In other words, you're still close enough so it looks like you're married to the church, but you're not really in intimacy with the church. I want to preach to you today, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so since the devil cannot destroy the church, the only thing he can do is try to pull one sheep away from the church. And so they may even come to the building fairly regularly, but they're not intimate with the church. They may feel like they've got a personal devotion and a private connection, but I'm telling you, if you divorce yourself from the church, you are divorcing yourself from your destiny. If you separate yourself from the church, you are separating yourself from your destiny. Pastor, it's a week before Easter. It's Palm Sunday. Why are you preaching like that? Because you know what God does every now and then? He knows the 99 are safe, but he leaves the 99 and he goes to find that one. And he says, you're not safe out here by yourself. You're not safe the way you've been thinking about the church. You're not safe doing your own thing. The devil's going to spit you out. The devil's going to sift you as wheat. But if you can be in the church. Oh, if you believe that, as you clap your hands, would you lift your voice and say, thank God for the church. Praise God. Praise God. It's Palm Sunday. Isn't it interesting that they went from crying Hosanna in just 1 week, they were crying crucify, crucify, crucify. They went from saying, I will never deny you, to saying, I don't even know Jesus. I'm not with him. Just 1 week. They went from running in fear to reaching the world. What changed? Of course, we know Calvary changed some things. The resurrection changed some things. Holy Ghost and fire certainly changed some things. But I want you to know, while you're feeling the confidence that because of Calvary, I'll never deny him. Because of the resurrection, I'll never deny him. Because I got the Holy Ghost, I'll never deny him. You cannot separate Calvary from the church. You cannot separate the resurrection from the church. You cannot separate Holy Ghost and fire from the church. I'm here to tell you, the gates of hell shall prevail against people that believe in the cross and people that believe in the resurrection and people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. I've talked to people that were filled with the Holy Ghost that went through such a dark trial that they didn't even believe there was a God. You know what happened? They separated from the church. They divorced themselves from the church. I'm preaching to somebody, we got to celebrate Palm Sunday, but if we're going to stick around past all of the chaos of hell, past all of the destruction of the devil, we're going to have to be the church. Can you say amen? Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. And so I want to say, You and I are not just in the church. We are the church. We are the church. If Heaven View is having revival, it's because you're having revival. I'm not trying to confine the Church of the Living God just to Heaven View. You understand that. The church is so much bigger than us. But if God has placed you here to be a part of His church, don't distance yourself. Don't separate yourself. Your destiny, your church, your destiny, it's intertwined. And I'm here to tell you today that if the church is making disciples, it's because you're making disciples. If the church is praying and fasting, it's because you're praying and fasting. If the church is working and serving, it's because you are working and serving with your church. And I guarantee you that if you will be in the church like that, the church will be triumphant. It doesn't matter what's happening in our world. It doesn't matter what's happening in all the chaos of the economy, all the chaos and infighting in our government. If we will say, you know what, thank God for the church. I'm not just going to waste my life focused on politics, focused on the economy, focused on what I like as opposed to what you don't like. Oh no, let's get in the church because our destiny is marvelous. Our destiny is supernatural. Let's be the church. Because I believe that the church is in the process of exploding upon this world in a way that is supernatural. I believe it is already happening, but it's coming to local congregations and individual believers, a time and a place when we live out in unity that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, and we recognize that whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Even from John 14 we read, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I love the way this church descended upon Statesville. It was awesome how we served together, but the real testimony is not what happened yesterday. It's what's going to happen today when those believers get together and they begin to worship. And because we've helped them push back the loss of years, they are now prepared for men and women and boys and girls to come and repent of their sins and be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're prepared for drug addicts to come and be delivered, for alcoholics to come and be delivered. That's the work of the church. That's the mission of the church. I didn't get permission to share the next two stories I'm going to share, but I'm a big guy. I've been in dialogue with Brother Aaron Smith. We love Brother Aaron around here. Brother Aaron at times has drifted. And as we spend time together, he's helped me gain a fresh new appreciation for the church. He said, you know, there was a time when I ran into somebody and they made a comment about me not being in church. They said, well, maybe you go somewhere else. He said, wait a minute. I may not be living the way I'm supposed to be living, but when I need the church, I know where I'm going. That's awesome. And we all have struggles. I just picked Brother Aaron because we've been talking lately, and his testimony has really inspired me. But we all have struggles. There's times I know I go to God in prayer and say, God, I know I've not been what I should be. But you know what? I'm staying in the church. I'm still a part of the church. Because I know And it's his testimony as well. If you get out there by yourself, it seems like all of hell can fight against you. All of hell can pummel you. But just getting in his presence, just getting in his church, all of a sudden, it seems like the power to bind and the power to loose and the power to overcome. I know we got to pray at home, and I know we got to read our Bibles, and I know we got to have a personal relationship with God. I'm not preaching against that, but I am preaching for the church, and I'm saying your church and your destiny are inseparable, and you don't have to learn the hard way that hell will have you and have your family and have your kids and have your future and have your destiny if you get out there by yourself. But if you say, wait a minute, devil, on my worst day, I'm still a part of the church. On my worst day, I'm still in the church. On my worst day, I'm going to be with the church. I promise you, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Can you say amen? Some of y'all worked too hard yesterday for me to preach any longer. I didn't get any permission for this one either. A couple Sundays ago, something swept in here. Just made me thank God I was in the church. I get a hold of God by myself, but there have been moments in the church. Been amazing. And this is not the only time that it's happened. It's happened many times. But some of y'all remember, and I'm not a singer, and I'm going to get the words all wrong. Even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't feel him, he's working. And one of our sweet sisters, Sister Penny Azell, she just took off. There's sometimes I run after some of y'all, but I can't keep up with her. And she told me after the fact, but what's funny is when she told me after the fact, I had already said to my wife, when I got the news that I got this week, I immediately saw Sister Penny running around the building and worshiping the Lord. And she told me just after the fact, I think it was yesterday evening, she said, when they were singing, even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't feel him, he's working. She said, I knew God was doing some things in my family. I knew that God was working for my kids and my grandkids. She wasn't the only one, and that wasn't the only time. It happens all the time. It's about to happen here again in just a few moments. But just yesterday, after so much prayer and so much fasting, so much believing God, she was able to see her grandson and her granddaughter baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in the baptismal pool right there. Why? Because the church, and in an atmosphere of faith, when we're all worshiping together, when we're all agreeing together, miracles still happen in the church. Victories still happen for the church. Everybody stand. I didn't get permission for this one either. Come on up here, Sister Michelle. I hate to disrupt you. Oh, Rochelle, you can come too. I was asking for Michelle. But come up here anyway, Sister Rochelle. Michelle. Any other shells? Just right there. She's been coming to the altar a lot, like all of you. And she comes up here, she just gives it all to the Lord, just gives it all to the Lord. Baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues. But you know what? She still keeps coming to the altar. Because there's something about the church. I know she prays at home. I know she reads her Bible, but I'm just telling you, your church and your destiny, some of you are feeling pulled away from the church, and you're okay with it because you know you love the Lord. It's not okay. Because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And can I tell you a little something? We need you in the church. The church is not just me. The church is not just her. The church is every single one of us together believing. But she's had so many answers to prayer. Like she comes up on a Wednesday. You'd think God would just do it on Sunday. And God answers her prayer. And she told me just this past Wednesday. And I thought it was so cool. She said, God's answered so many prayers. She said, I'm coming up there today, and I'm asking God for a pony. Now, because I'm so spiritual, I thought what was happening there was that she was about to bet on some horse races. No. But you know why I called you up here? It'd be okay to pray for a pony in just a minute. It's okay. Whatever God wants. It's Palm Sunday. He came riding through on a donkey, pony, donkey, whatever. We can work this out. But I believe Sister Michelle would testify there's something about the church when we get together. I have never seen her pray by herself. I have never not seen her come to the altar where there weren't other people. They didn't know she was praying for a pony. They're just saying, God, whatever Sister Michelle needs, you bless her, you help her. God, you touch her. In just a few moments, I'm going to invite anybody that needs a miracle to come. And Sister Michelle's a believer. And I got elders that are coming right now with your wives, other ministry, you join us too. And then maybe one or two believers that can come. Just come. Come right now. Come. Elders, believers, just that's good. Everybody that's moving, keep moving. Everybody else stay where you are. This is good. Just make a line, Michelle. You got to stay up here. Because I know you want to ask about the pony, but what if somebody else here needs another miracle? Everybody up here, face this audience. Everybody up here, face this audience. I love the Bible study Wednesday night. We had our elders and their wives. What a powerful force. They said like 400 or 500 years of people living for God. But I want you to know, these brothers and sisters and so many of you, this is the church. The church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. If you have a sickness in your body, if you have another need in your life, or if you just feel like you've been attacked by the enemy of your soul, in just a moment when I say come, you come with anybody else that's coming, and you let these believers and elders and leaders pray for you. And let me tell you something, they don't have to know your business. You don't even have to promise to come back, but I want you to see the power of the church. I want you to feel the power of the church. I want you to know that Calvary and the church, the resurrection and the church, the Holy Ghost and the church, your destiny and the church, it's all intertwined. You say, that's kind of weird, preacher. I've never been here before. I don't plan on being here again. This is bigger than Heaven View. This is bigger than this preacher. This is the word of God. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And if somewhere in your life, it seems like hell is whipping up on you. Somewhere in your life, it seems like sickness is getting the best of you. Somewhere in your life, it feels like temptation or some other struggle is getting the best of you. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's depression. Whatever it is, I want you to come to the church right now. If you have a need, would you come right now and let the church pray with you? Let the church believe God for you. Everybody that wants prayer, would you come right now and say, you know what? I believe the church can help me with my destiny. I believe the church can help me with my destiny. I believe the church can help me connect with the power of God. Come on, everybody come that wants prayer. Everybody come that has a need. Everybody come that wants God to do a work in your life. Come on, everybody pray right now. Everybody pray right now. Everybody pray right now.
Oh, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. And I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee.
Come on, let the church pray for you. Let the church pray with you. Let the church help you right now.
Who and me, my burden said, none but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee.
Come on, let the church pray for you right now. Let the church pray for you right now. Let the church pray with you right now.
Granted, Jesus, here's my being.
Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, wherever there's a struggle, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Wherever you need a miracle, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Come on, all over the building, be the church. All over the sanctuary, be the church.
Granted, Jesus, here's my peace.